للمؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran, in Surah Al-Imran, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done upon the believers a great favor. إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, by raising a messenger from among themselves. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ, what was that messenger doing? What was that prophet doing? What was his main job? Reciting to them his revelations. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, purifying them. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, and teaching them the book. وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and wisdom. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, for indeed they had previously been clearly astray. Since the creation of this earth and the creation of Adam alayhi salam, the best group of people on this surface of earth, living in one time together, are the Sahaba and companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Definitely we believe, this is like part of our belief, that Anbiya, the prophets, are the afdalul makhluq. The best among the creations are the prophets. But they were all living in different times. Maximum two or three at one time. But Sahaba as a whole group, as a whole jamaat, starting from a few, and then during the last Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more than 100,000 gathered in Makkah. They were the best group of people together at one time ever in this world. So inshallah, as our last series finished in the last session of Team Fajr, that was on the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now inshallah we are going to start a new series that is on the Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It may come in our mind that we have been listening to different stories of Sahaba in lectures of Seerah or in khutbas and khatiras, and we have read about them. Is there any need of it or not? So this is actually, number one, difference in the learning style or learning paradigm of Western education and Islamic education. In Western paradigm, people learn to satisfy the needs of their brain. And brain gets bored with repeated information. In our paradigm, in Islamic paradigm, we learn to fulfill the needs of our qalb, of our heart. And this heart, this qalb, it strengthens by repetition. This is the reason whenever we are reciting Quran again and again, our iman increases. Same is with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then same is with the stories of companions. And the number of companions is in thousands. Ulama have mentioned, the historians, that more than 100,000 companions were there. Now, what is the definition of a companion? What is the definition of a Sahabi? Anyone who was blessed to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the state of Iman. And then that person, he passed away with Iman. This person is called a Sahabi. Any person who was blessed to be in the company. What does it mean? That even if he was blind, he was still in the company. Even if he was unable to see Rasulullah, but he was in the company, in the state of Iman, and then he passed away with Iman. That person is called a Sahabi. This shows that the company of Rasulullah in the state of Iman is one of the biggest acts of virtue. That this makes someone a Sahabi. This makes someone a Sahabi. So as I mentioned that more than 100,000 Sahaba were there. So definitely we don't know about all of them. Even if some names are being repeated, but still there will be, inshallah, some new names with their contribution. Allama Safar, Allama Safarini has mentioned that after Anbiya, the most noble personalities are Sahaba, and this is the Ijma of the Ummah. And as the verse of Quran which I recited, it mentioned four things which Rasulullah was doing. Number one was tilawat of verses of Quran, and then the purification of his companions, and then ta'aleem of kitab and hikmah. So we believe that Rasulullah has done his job, and he's perfectly done his job, which means that he has purified, he has helped his companions to get purified. So these purified souls, even after, when we are learning their stories, they will help us to spiritually grow as well. As mentioned by Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahimahullah, that if you cannot find the company of good people, read the stories of good people. And definitely after Anbiya, these are the stories of Sahaba. Because they were purified as Rasulullah has done this job which was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify them. And in Surah Fath, verse number 29, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Muhammadun Rasulullah walladhina ma'ahu ashidda'u ala al-kuffar ruhama'u baynahum. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him, who are those with him? Sahaba, companions, are firm with the disbelievers and compassionate with one another. This was their great sifa, that within, when they were living among themselves, they were compassionate. Ruhamau bainahum. But when they had to fight with the enemies of Islam, then ashidda wal al-kuffar, they were firm. And then the signs of these companions were mentioned in the previous books as well. And the same verse Allah SWT mentions, Seemahum fi wujuhim min athar al-sujood, thalika mathaluhum fi al-tawrat. So what is mentioned in Tawrat as the sign of a sahaba, the sign of Sahaba? And you see them bowing and prostrating in prayer, seeking Allah's bounty and pleasure. The sign of brightness can be seen on their faces from the trace of prostrating in prayer. This is their description in Tawrat. This is what Allah is mentioning in Quran. And then what was mentioned in Injil? ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار. The example of Sahaba given in Bible is that of a seed that sprouts its tiny branches, making it strong. Then it becomes thick, standing firmly on its stem, to the delight of the planters. And this way Allah makes the believers a source of dismay for the disbelievers. So this was the reason some of the Ahlul Kitab of the time of Rasulullah, when they saw Sahaba, they were reminded of these signs which were mentioned in their books, and then they believed in Rasulullah SAW and in his message. This is the greatness of Sahaba, that even previous scriptures had, Allah SWT had mentioned their qualities in the previous scriptures as well. And then Quran talks about them more. Now what is the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah about Sahaba? Number one, As-Sahaba kulluhum udul. They are just. And number two, they are maghfoor. The aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah is that Anbiya, all the prophets are ma'asum. They do not commit any sin. Sahaba, after prophets, they are the best of the makhluk. Occasionally, they also committed some sins, but they are maghfoor. They were forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentions in the Quran, radiyallahu anhum wa raduan. They were pleased with Allah and Allah is pleased with them. Radiyallahu anhum wa raduan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with them and they were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are maghfoor. Mawlana Zakariya Kandalvi rahimahullah has mentioned in one of his books that Rasulullah SAW came with the practical deen. Practical deen. It was not just a theory. He practically implemented that. So now, those mistakes which were not against the status of Nubuwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let Rasulullah SAW do that mistake. Like for example, once he forgot in Salah, during Salah. The purpose was to teach Ummah how to do sajda sahaf. One day the whole group of Sahaba along with Rasulullah SAW, they did not wake up for Fajr. When they were coming back from a ghazwa, from an expedition, they woke up after the sun rose. The purpose was to teach us that if someone missed his salah, he has to do qada. He has to make up his salah. This was the purpose. So this was not against the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this was not a sin. This was just a mistake. Number two, those things which were required to be practically explained to Muslims, but if they were done by Rasulullah, it would have been against his status. So those mistakes were committed by Sahaba. Like it happened in the lives of Sahaba that someone stole and they were given punishment. The famous incident and the sad incident of slandering is mentioned in Quran. So Rasulullah practically implemented the laws of Islam, the laws of Quran, the hudud. The purpose was to show the practical aspect of it. Now number three, if there were some things which were still required to be practically shown to the public, to Muslims up till the day of Qiyamah, but if those things were done in the life of Rasulullah, it would have been against his status of Nubuwa. So that was some fights among Sahaba which happened, Jamal and Siffin. So if those fights happened in the time of Sahaba, in the time of Rasulullah, it would have been against his status. So when he passed away, there were some fights that happened. Again, the purpose was to show this to Ummah, that whenever there is any fight among two groups of Muslims, how to resolve the issue, how to decide who was on haq. So this was the issue resolved by the whole Ummah in the time of Sahaba, that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was ad haq, and Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he did ijtihadi mistake. And ijtihadi mistake means that that was part of deen. He himself was doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why this explanation is required? Because today it is very easy to get famous by just raising your fingers against Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala. This internet, the YouTube channels, you can easily find that the people have achieved thousands and thousands of subscribers just by speaking against Sahaba. This is the most easiest way to attack Islam, because if the trust on Sahaba has been removed from the hearts of Muslims, then they will not believe ahadith, because these were the Sahaba who transferred hadith to the next generations. Even Quran was transferred through Sahaba tawaturan. So if the trust is not developed on Sahaba, the trust on the whole deen will be at stake. The whole deen will be at stake. So they cannot easily attack Quran. So what do they find? What way do they find? They find this way to attack Sahaba. So this is the requirement to know more about Sahaba and their virtues and sifat. So there were two things I mentioned about the aqidah that we must have about Sahaba. Number one, they are udul, they are just, and they are maghfoor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if they committed some mistakes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. It is mentioned in Surah Tawbah, والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا وعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. As for the foremost, the first, السابقون الأولون, the first of the believers, من المهاجرين, among those who did hijra, والأنصار, and Ansar, those who helped them, والذين تبعوهم, and those who followed them, بإحسان, in goodness, radiyallahu anhum wa radun, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with him. And what will they get in akhirah? وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَ الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِي أَبَدًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow to stay there forever and ever. And this, that is the supreme success. So this verse shows that there are some categories even among Sahaba. One is سَابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ, and then those who followed them. Then ulama had explained what is the meaning of sabiqun al-awwalun. So according to Allama ibn Kathir, Abu Musa Ashari radiyallahu ta'ala and Hasan Basri rahimahullah, they have this opinion that those who prayed towards both qiblas, towards Baytul Muqaddas, Masjid Aqsa, and in second hijri, when this ruling was revealed that the Muslims have to face Kaaba, they have to make Kaaba their Qibla. So this group of Sahaba, up till second Hijri year, they prayed facing the both Qiblas. They are Sabiqun al-Awwalun, the highest category. And then second one, those who follow them are those who accepted Islam after them. And one opinion is by Imam Shaabi that these Sabiqun al-Awwalun were those who were present in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Because Allah also mentioned about them in Quran that Allah is pleased with them. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُقْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Those who did ba'it with you under the tree, Allah is happy with them. And this verse is also talking about those سابقون الأولون, and those who follow them, Allah is happy with them, pleased with them. So anyways, this is the category of Sahaba. Then there's some different categories, those who are Ashra Mubashra, the top 10. And then those who participated in Badr, as Rasulullah has mentioned, that those who were in Badr, they cannot be munafiq. So the participation of Sahaba in Badr itself was a dalil of Iman. So Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he mentions that ya wayla man abghadahum wa sabbahum wa sabba ba'dahum fa ayna ha'ula'i min al-iman bil Quran id yasubbuna man radiyallahu anhum. Woe to them who have hatred towards Sahaba, all of them or some of them, towards all of them or towards some of them, and those who curse them or some of them. What is their relation with Quran when they curse those with whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased? With whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased. There was a driver, Pathan driver, used to have a jeep, and he used to take tourists into the hilly areas in Pakistan. So he started saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent me in the wrong time. He should have sent me in the times of Sahaba. I should have been sent in the time of Sahaba. I have been sent in the wrong time. People told him, this is taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not your choice. So you should be happy with them. This is best for you. But he kept on repeating this. Ulama told him to not say this. But one day he saw a dream, after which his perception changed. He saw a dream that he is driving a car, the same jeep which he used to drive, and he's going up towards the hill. And in the dream, he's watching that Rasulullah is sitting in the front seat with him, and Khulafa'i Rashidun, they're sitting in the back seats. So what happened, that the car stopped, the jeep stopped. So what happens there, whenever they are going on some, up to some hilly area, and the car stops, they run and try to get some brick to put it behind the tires. So the driver, in the dream, he stepped out of the car, he was looking bricks, but he couldn't find them. When he came back, what did he see? He saw that behind every tire, every one among the Khulafa'i Rashidun, they had put their necks. Then how is it possible that Prophet is sitting inside the jeep and he ran away to get the bricks? How can you even wait for this much time? These were Sahaba who gave their lives for Rasulullah. This was a sign for him, a message for him through the dream, that never think like this, that I had been sent in the wrong time. Being a Sahabi is not that was not some easy thing to do. It's not something easy to claim. I wish, like, if I was a Sahabi. Was not an easy thing. So this was the maqam of Sahaba. The issue is, the challenge is, today when we don't know about Sahaba the way we should be knowing about them, then our new future generations, they find different heroes. They find their heroes in the film industry, in the sports industry, all these celebrities. This culture of heroism has impacted our youth a lot. They want to follow their styles, not only the hairstyles, the looks, but also they want to be like them. They want to talk like them, walk like them, and they even know more details about them. And if they just look into the private, public, and social life of these celebrities, it's worthless. But these best people about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a guarantee that Allah is pleased with them, shouldn't we just consider them as our hero? Ashabika nujum, my sahaba are like stars, whoever you will follow from them, you will get hidayah, you will be guided. So some people say, when we give examples of sahaba, they say that, oh, they were great people, they lived like 14 centuries ago, we are living in the 21st century, how can we like relate their lives in modern world? So remember one thing, one of our teachers gave the answer to this question, that if we cannot become stars, at least we can walk under the light of star. If we cannot become stars, at least we can walk in the light of stars. So this is the reason it is important to give examples of sahaba, to learn about their lives. At least we can, if we cannot become like them, at least we can follow them. There's a hadith in Tirmidhi. Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned, Allah, Allah fi ashabi, Allah, Allah fi ashabi, la tattakhiduhum gharadan ba'di, faman ahabbahum fi bihubbi ahabbahum, waman abghadhum fi bibughdi abghadhum, waman aadhahum faqad aadhani, waman aadhani faqad aadallaha, waman aadallaha fayushika an ya'khudahu. Abdullah bin Mughaffar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentioned that Rasulullah said that, fear Allah regarding my companions. Do not make them objects of insults after me. Whoever loves them, it is out of love of me that he loves them. So when we are talking about sahaba, when we are discussing them and we are loving them, this means it is because of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not leave any school, college, university, madrasa. He did not write any book. What did he leave behind him? What did he leave after him? He left the Jamaat of Sahaba. That was his legacy. The Jamaat of Sahaba. So this is the reason he says that whoever loves them, فَبِحُبِّي أَحَبَّهُمْ, so because of my love, he loves them. وَمَنْ أَبْغَدَهُمْ فَبِبُغْضِي أَبْغَدَهُمْ, and whoever hates them, it is out of hatred for me that he hates them. وَمَنْ أَعْذَاهُمْ, and whoever harms them, he has harmed me. فَقَدْ أَعْذَانِي, وَمَنْ أَعْذَانِي, whoever has harmed me, فَقَدْ أَعْذَ اللَّهَ, he has offended Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَعْذَ اللَّهَ, and whoever offends Allah, فَيُوشِكُ أَنْ يَأْخُذَهُ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him soon, or he will be punished soon. In Sahih Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a hadith that mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, "La tasubbu ashabi, do not abuse my companions. Falau anna ahadakum anfaqa mithla uhudin dhahaban ma balagha mudda ahadihim wala nasifahu." Do not abuse my companions, for if any one of you spent gold equal to Uhud in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would not be equal to mud or even a half mud spent by one of them. Because quality matters, not quantity. Their small amount of charity was better than our large amount of charity because of the ikhlas they had. So this is the reason there's a need. There's always a need to discuss about sahaba. Ulama have recorded lives of more than 50,000 sahaba in the books of history, in the books of Rijal, just to secure the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This has never happened in any other ummah. 50,000 sahaba, their lives are recorded in the books. You can go and find in our library. Just to secure the life of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So inshallah, the benefits which we can get from this series is that we will develop the connection with them, and as a result we will develop connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will learn how to be confident on Islam. We will learn how to have a strong identities as a Muslim. And then one benefit that every time we say we need some names for our kids, so we should name our kids on the names of Sahaba. We receive calls and messages from different people. Can you please suggest us some new name which no one has in the past? One of my friends, he texted me, I'm expecting a baby daughter. Can you suggest some name which is unique? I told him, he was my good friend. I told him, what if you name her Fir'auna? It's very unique. No one has it. Then he replied, oh, I don't need this much unique. So we should name our kids on the names of Sahaba. So how do we know what are their names? Definitely we know some of them, but there are thousands. So we should try to name our kids on the name of Sahaba. And when we learn about this sifat, we should try to adopt those sifat as well. And last thing, that what was the power of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Just look at the example of Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala. He accepted Islam just before Hijrah. And he got shaheed in the 5th Hijri year. So this means his life as a Muslim was maximum 6 to 7 years. And when he got shaheed, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this to Sahaba, that when Sa'd bin Mu'az got shaheed, Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shook. It was shaking. And 70,000 angels came to attend his janaza. So what happened in these only six, 7 years? Our Alamiya program is 7 years. He spent less than that time as a Muslim. As a Muslim, less than that 7 years. But what did he do that in those 7 years, or less than 7 years, when he passed away, when he got shaheed, Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was shaking and 70,000 angels were there in his Salatul Janazah. That was the powerful impact of the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is called Sohba. That was the powerful impact of the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that made them Sahaba. This was a quality. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to develop such a strong connection with them. Maulana Zakariya Kandalvi rahimahullah, although he was not the richest person in India at that time, he was teaching in madrasa and he had a very normal small bookstore. But every year during Eid al-Adha, he used to give one sacrifice for Sahaba, for Isalul Sawab of Sahaba. This is out of the love he had for Sahaba. He did one for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one for Sahaba, one for his teachers, one for his muhaddithun, and one for mashayikh. He used to give multiple animals for as sacrifice for dhiya in Eid al-Adha. So this is out of the love of Sahaba. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to develop this connection with the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to follow their footsteps, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to get a place in Jannah near these companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala رسول الكريم، ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من كل فتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.